And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. And if my mic is up well enough, you should be able to hear me say that on the show today is Queer Spirit.
We speak to Buzzy on the founding of Queer Spirit, the festivals, and the new radio station Sanctity of Sound. Plus, Bristol's High Sheriff.
Martin Spilacy chats to the one and only Sharon Rosemary Foster of Horfield.
All today, right here on Shout Out with a very loud Steffi. That's a lot quieter than Ez does it.
It is.
That's because you're very gentle.
I'm subtle.
Oh, I can hear myself now.
Excellent.
See, it's always a positive.
It's always a positive to hear you, Steffi, every week.
That's kind of helps, doesn't it? You know, if you're broadcasting,
it always helps.
You hear yourself.
Yes. And people listen and think, that's a bit kinky in your own ears.
Chorley FM, isn't it?
Who's FM?
Chorley, you've not seen the... I'm not going to say it on air.
Of course you're not.
I'll tell you off mic. But it was what led to us kind of copying it and doing the Out of the Closet and Into Your Ears. It's one of our taglines.
Mm. Yes.
So that Mary wanted me to ditch after we run it for a few years, and then one of the big marketing companies in London that would charge you millions for something like that kind of tagged it. When that's one of the best taglines we've ever seen. And shit, I'm never going to get you to change it now, am I? Yeah. But we now use LGBT radio for you, don't we?
We do.
We kind of got the two.
I tell you what, the red light shining, it matches your bloodshot eyes this evening.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
I love you too. You're not supposed to tell the listeners that. They wouldn't know.
Wouldn't know what? With that croaky voice going on?
Still recovering.
I was out on a works do last night. We had a couple of people leaving. And let's just put it this way, it ended up in lane 7 until it closed. Yeah. We were doing the virtual clay pigeon shooting, it's not real thing, you just project a screen shooting at it, so my aim was terrible. I didn't shoot at all.
I was going to say, it just reminds me of the old game on the Nintendo, Duck Hunt.
It was basically like that, yeah. Except we had all had quite a bit to drink by that point, and it's quite loud in there, so I woke up this morning, I was like, and I thought, oh no, not another week on the radio with no voice.
So have you noticed the difference as well between last week? Terry is instantly there and replying, there's no 8-second delay.
And have you noticed...
The delay was there, wasn't it, last time?
There's someone else as well whose voice we haven't heard in a long time.
Indeed.
Yes, I have reappeared.
Who are you?
Yes, it's 3 months, I think, since I was last on air.
Good Lord.
Welcome.
So, anyway, nice to be back.
Yeah, and the wave works well on radio, Andy.
Yes, yeah. As I do a royal wave.
It was the royal wave.
That is so rich coming from you, how flamboyant you are when
I have a magic mic.
A magic mic?
Yeah, it's got a video camera in it.
Well, I should say, we could ask Steph, what colour is she wearing today?
I don't. What colour would you call that? Puce?
It is puce.
Oh, puke.
Yeah.
not yet.
Salmon pink.
Salmon pink.
Yeah,
like
that's
it.
Nice. Yeah.
Salmon pink and white.
Yeah.
That's something completely different.
Was Andy sporting like work dress with shirt and tie? And...
Yes. Well, I just come straight from work, so.
So anyway, a really packed show today. Do you want to kick us off? Because you did this interview, didn't you, this one?
So chatting to Buzzy of Queer Spirit Festival. One is coming right up, I think it's August, dates will be mentioned.
Yeah.
And of course, the brand new radio station they've started, Sanctity of Sound, which shout out is on Fridays at 6 p.m.
Yes,
hello if you're listening on Sanctity of Sound. So, okay, cool, have a listen to this.
Well... As listeners may know, Shout Out over the last 15 years has grown substantially. And 15 years, we're now on 15 stations. And one of those latest stations, the manager, I guess you could be the youth station manager. Is that how you call yourself?
It's not what I would have called myself.
Okay, you tell me.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
Right, let's go back because it's part of Queer Spirit, isn't it? So let's go back to the beginning of when the seeds were sown for Queer Spirit.
The seeds were sown probably a very long time ago, because the two people who kind of created Queer Spirit Festival both were very active in all sorts of other groups that were going on. They were sort of queer pagans and queer radical fairies and all these other individual groups. And it was interesting because I think it was in 2015, I happened to be in a room with these two other people and one other person was there, and they were talking about it. And it was one of these fascinating things that both of them reckoned they had the idea. So I think they both had the idea at exactly the same time. Wouldn't it be great to create a place where queers could get together? And the kind of key thing was get all these different groups into one place so that people could meet each other and learn about all these different aspects of queerness. You know, because people had been used to queer. Queer was, you know, everybody going out and celebrating at a festival of pride once a year, and that was kind of it. And it was sort of lacking some of the things like the spiritual side of things and the community side of things. So they sort of thought, yeah, let's make Queer Spirit. And I happened to be there, and I'd run a few festivals as well, so I joined the team. And in 2015, four of us started going, and we created the first festival that happened in 2016. Lovely place just outside Bath as well.
Ah, okay, which is where the studio is. Do you find that the LGBTQ community tends to be rather spiritual?
I think it's moving more towards that. I mean, there's if you're kind of into the, what is it, the age of Aquarius, I believe we're in, which is supposed to be showing this radical shift in the whole of humanity. I think people have got a bit tired of, you know, I think the LGB community used to be a bit, let's go out and party, let's go out and spend money, that kind of thing. And it's kind of now sort of thinking, well, there must be more to it than that, you know. And I think with, you know, with the political side of things coming on, people are becoming more aware that it's you know, being queer almost is, it's not having to be gay or trans or bi. Being queer is becoming this thing that's almost like it's just a, it's an understanding of how life is. And I guess that's kind of the spiritual aspect of it for me as well, that it's, you know, it's just recognizing that human beings are human beings no matter what.
Do you feel okay about taking the word queer back? Because it was used in very derogatory terms, wasn't it? Do you feel comfortable using that term?
Yes, although I do appreciate that it doesn't sit well for everybody. I mean, on the website, Queer Spirit website, we have got a section talking about it and explaining why we chose it. And it's something I think is now beginning to become understood, that queer has sort of come back into the community. And it is this thing about just, you know, understanding that life isn't binary, that you and you don't have to put labels on people. You know, you don't have to decide whether you're straight or gay or bi or anything in between. You can just go in this thing that everything is what it is.
Mm. It's a good umbrella term, isn't it?
It is a good umbrella term. And I mean, we took the decision on the website and for all our publicity, what we try and do is get a balance. So we'll say, you know, every time we use the word queer, we'll then try and also put in LGBT. But the LGBT bit is kind of, it keeps growing and growing. We have LGBT, LGBTQ, LGBT, and it gets difficult to know exactly what to put. And I heard now there's some other terms that people are talking about as well. So for us, really, you know, the website is Queer Spirit, the festival is Queer Spirit, and I think people are beginning to understand. We did get a lot of people sort of questioning it at the beginning, but we don't really get that now.
Mm. Mm. Like you say, it is a term that's becoming a lot more common now in use for the whole of the community. And like you say, for a lot of people, remembering all the letters, LGBTQIA+, and Two Spirit, it is sometimes it is too much, and taking back the word queer might be the way forward.
And if, you know, if anybody comes up with another word they want to use, maybe we'll use that in the future. But we're sort of sticking with this for the moment.
Yeah. Now, tell me more about the Queer Spirit and the places that you go. Do you stick to one place where you hold the festivals, or do you like to move around?
We don't like to move around. We have moved around quite a lot. The first festival we had was a fantastic site and it was really good. So we went back there. After doing it as well, we sort of said, oh, this is quite a lot. We'll do this festival every other year. And then the group of us, the four of us, met and went to a lovely place in Devon out in the countryside where we talked to the trees and decided, oh, yeah, let's do it again in the following year, 2017. So we did, and we did it at the same place. And unfortunately, the management there had changed, and it was not, you know, it was a bit like, was it the ducks floating on the water? You know, as far as all the participants were concerned, it was a lovely festival. But by the end of it, we were just like, never again, we're not using that place. Mm. So we looked for somewhere else. And it was actually a time that I wasn't so much, I had sort of some health issues, so I wasn't quite so involved. So I don't know how it ended up, but it ended up being next to, I think it's Brands Hatch racing track. And we had an assurance from them that there weren't going to be any activities. You know, there was no races or anything while we were there. But it turned out that there was a race the following week. So everybody was practicing. Basically at 10 o'clock every morning, suddenly you heard this incredible noise and they were all doing their practices and stuff. So
oh dear.
It wasn't the most ideal thing. And then we were going to have a next one in 2021, but obviously pandemics and things came. So that sort of got put on hold. And for last year, we ended up at a wonderful place in Devon called Bridwell Park. Bridwell Park is actually owned by Lord Ivor Mountbatten and his partner, James. Actually, I think they're married. So, you know, it was absolutely amazing. And the site is amazing. It's got this great, fantastic house. It's got all these trees and woods and everything. And, you know, there we were doing a festival for a gay lord, basically. Mm. And it was just amazing. And at the end of the festival, on the closing ceremony, we were sort of all by the fire. And they basically said, yeah, that was, you know, fantastic. We'd love you to come back. Mm. And in fact, this is perfect timing because we found out yesterday that the license that you have to get to hold a festival, we have been granted an ongoing license now, so we can just keep going back there as long as we want. They want us back. So, yeah, hopefully we found our little home.
Oh, that's good. Do you think that Queer Spirit is a renaissance of 1967, the Summer of Love? Is that the sort of atmosphere that people can expect?
I mean, it's a bit before my time, but it's, I think we the festival kind of gets split into sort of areas. I mean, we have a sacred sexuality temple where people could explore everything to do with sexuality and connection. And we have music, and we also have some other spiritual and nature-based things. One thing we don't have is people can bring alcohol if they want to, but we've always taken the decision not to actually have any alcohol on site. So again, that kind of can affect how it is. But, you know, people basically say that they get there and suddenly they can just be themselves and they can just talk to people. And it is that kind of, you know, you can almost fall in love with yourself, let alone anybody else. So, yeah, maybe it has kind of got that vibe to it as well.
Mm. Do you supply food and soft drinks? Are there stands and stalls where people can get stuff?
Yeah, we have. I mean, the site itself has a big cafe, which we were kind of a bit wary of. It was like, well, you know, how's this cafe? And they said they've never worked so hard because obviously they normally just, it's a park that's open to the public. And obviously they normally serve a few people during the day and they suddenly had this huge festival. But they loved it. They said, you know, we were fantastic and they really enjoyed having us. So we have that, and then we have a few vendors as well. And we also have our community cafe, but it's the Queer Spirit Cafe. It's run by sort of people in the Queer Spirit team, and it's open for anybody who wants to come and actually be a part of the festival, but perhaps can't afford a ticket. They can come and help work in the cafe.
Oh, what a lovely idea.
We try and make it as accessible as possible. So we do try and have tickets that are not too expensive. We do also have tickets that are like very high for people who feel they want to sort of support us. But one of the things also is, as I say, we have this ability not just for the cafe, but we have stewards, we have health welfare people, we have all sorts of different roles where people can actually just do those rather than they be a part of the festival rather than buying a ticket. They can just come along and get in for free for doing a bit of work.
Do you have live acts there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, as I say, it's kind of a mix. So we have a big top, which during the day has all sorts of workshops going on. And then in the evenings, we have live bands, we have discos. We also have sort of cabaret acts. So we've had performances of people reading poems, people doing... last year, we actually had someone, I missed it, but we actually had an opera singer singing opera. So it's a very wide selection of acts and things we have going on.
Yeah, very eclectic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of music and eclectic, tell me a bit about the new radio station that you've started up. And why did you think you needed to start a radio station? Where did that idea come from?
Well, it sort of came from, the name Sanctity of Sound, somebody helped me come up with. And originally what I'd envisioned was actually at the festival, we were going to have sort of one marquee that was going to be the Sanctity of Sound marquee. And it was going to be a place where, you know, celebrating the healing power of music, where you go in and maybe there'd be sound baths, there'd be dance meditations, lots of kind of workshop and things all around sound. And in the end, that didn't really happen. I mean, those things sort of got spread around. But I like the name. And what we found when we first went there, we were told when we had to finish at night, we had to stop playing music quite early at night. So we thought, we'll have a silent disco. So I thought, well, the easiest way to do a silent disco perhaps is for us to create like a little radio station just for the festival. As it happened last year, that didn't quite work and we didn't have that, but it didn't matter because when we played the music, we were told, yeah, you can keep going, we can't hear a thing. No, apparently when they have weddings, they've had more noise coming from weddings than came from our festival. So all our lovely sound checks obviously paid off. So we managed to sort of play music late into the night. But the idea of having the radio kind of stuck with me. And one of the things about Queer Spirit is it's very much a community-based festival. It's not like a big commercial thing. It's very much encouraging the community to be a part of it. And that felt like something that a radio station could do to sort of encourage some of the DJs to play some of their music. We're starting to get people who are going to do some podcasts, reading poems and things. So it's kind of extending what the festival is out throughout the whole year.
So you've got the station, you've got the festival, and it sounds like you're good neighbours as well.
Yes. I mean, as I said, we got lots of feedback, and obviously we always get feedback from the people who go to the festival, but lots of the people actually who live in the nearby village said that, you know, they welcome us back because it was, one woman said the only reason she knew we were there was because she happened to walk past the front gate and see our sign up. And she lives directly opposite the place. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, everybody is really happy for us to go back. So it kind of, you know, feels like we're becoming part of that community.
Mm. Oh, that's really nice. Really nice. Right. So let's have some dates from you of upcoming festivals and events that you've got organized.
Right. We have every now and then we have a drum circle and a Queer Spirit cabaret which take place in London. We haven't got dates for the next ones. We just had those over the last week. But whenever we know the dates, they get put onto our website and also they get broadcast out on the radio. But the festival itself is in August, and the gates open at 2 p.m. on Thursday, the 15th of August. And it goes right through, and then basically you have to be off-site sometime Monday by about 3 p.m. We probably will have a closing ceremony, so it's kind of Thursday to Monday is the whole event. Mm. And if you can't do the whole event, we do weekend tickets as well. So if you just want to come for the weekend, you can. But as I say, the main event is the 15th to the 19th of August this year.
Have people got to bring their own accommodation, like a tent or a small caravan or a motorhome?
Yes, is the answer. So the festival is primarily a camping festival. We do have glamping, so if you want to sort of really live it up. And we had this company last year, and we're really excited we're having them back this year because the glamping tents are just absolutely amazing. I mean, you just turn up and there's this tent with two beds and everything in it. So if you like that, you can do that. But otherwise, yeah, you bring a tent. Or if you've got a live-in, a motorhome, you can bring those along as well. Then we have spaces for people to camp in those.
Okay.
And a few people do, I think. I think nearby there's probably a few B&Bs and things, and a few people decide to just rent one of those and walk in and out of the side.
Oh, okay. Right. Give me the website then, so where people could get tickets, find out more about the radio station and the upcoming festivals.
Yeah, the website is just queerspirit, one word, queerspirit.net/festival will take you straight to the festival pages.
Buzzy of Queer Spirit, thank you so much for your time today. And
my pleasure. Lovely talking to you.
I hope you go from strength to strength.
Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Hello, this is Talk to the Rainbow. We're an LGBTQI+ service that offers online and in-person counselling. We're the next generation of LGBTQI+ therapists. We've seen the growing mental health crisis that the LGBTQI+ community are experiencing. It's got to a critical point, and we say, enough is enough. That's why we're dedicated to supporting LGBTQI+ individuals who need a safe and confidential space to talk. If this is something you're looking for, go to our website where you can meet the team and get lots more information. talktotherainbow.co.uk. Proudly supporting Shout Out Radio.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Rush. That's by Troy Sivan. Love that one. Don't watch the video if you're under 18. It's a bit provocative. So.
Sounds a bit butch.
Butch?
Yeah.
No, he's not. No.
No, I said the music.
Oh,
the track sounds
good. It's quite different to everything else he does. You listen to all the rest of his music, and it's totally different style. This is one of the few proper dance tracks he did. But,
He did or he does?
Huh?
He did or he does?
He did or he does?
Yes. Apologies.
Did I say diz?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
I didn't know this.
No, I didn't. No.
Well, what do I know? I'm Bristolian.
There ain't anything wrong with that.
Right there, my love. You ready?
I am.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. RTE News in Ireland and the BBC News both led on Wednesday with the news that the first gay Taoiseach, that is, Prime Minister of the Republic of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, has resigned in a decision that has shocked the political establishment in Dublin. Sandra Hurley at RTE Radio 1, the nation's main news network, said that Mr. Varadkar was also the youngest person to become Taoiseach in 2017. In 2015, he came out in an interview with RTE's Miriam O'Callaghan, telling her, "I'm a gay man. It's not a secret, but not something everyone would necessarily know. It's not something I've spoken publicly about before now." That revelation made him the first openly gay cabinet minister and was a carefully managed announcement in advance of the marriage equality referendum. In 2018, his administration also paved the way for major social change after agreeing to ask the Irish people whether they wanted to repeal the Eighth Amendment. The passing of the referendum led to wider access to abortion in Ireland. The BBC News Channel added that announcing his resignation, Mr. Varadkar described leading his country as the most fulfilling time of my life. Mr. Varadkar listed work to improve the affordability of childcare amongst his achievements, as well as increasing government spending on arts and culture, international development and public infrastructure. Mr. Varadkar was the leader of Fine Gael, a centrist political party. It has, for the last few years, been part of a coalition with their old rivals Fianna Fáil and the Irish Green Party. The BBC News Channel reported that Irish election watchers are not expecting a general election to follow in Ireland. Rather, Fine Gael will appoint a new leader who will become Taoiseach under the electoral coalition. However, Dublin Gay Community News noted that European elections are looming for Ireland and that as such, Mr. Varadkar's resignation is still what they called a political earthquake in the run-up to the polls. And we stay with political changes now. BBC Radio Wales reported on Tuesday the 19th of March that Mark Drakeford, the First Minister of the Welsh Government, took part in his final question and answer session at the Senedd Cymru, the Welsh Assembly at Cardiff Bay. Mr Drakeford was first elected as member of the Senedd for Cardiff West in 2011 and is considered to be on the soft left of the Labour Party. In addition to his membership of the Labour Party, he is a member of Unite the Union and Unison, and a solidarity member of the LGBT Plus Network for Labour. He has also been a firm ally of the trans community and spoken out many times against fringe groups that blame trans people for society's ills. Wikipedia notes that in November 2021, Drakeford and Plaid Cymru's first openly gay leader, Adam Price, reached a cooperation agreement on policy in a wide range of areas. From Wednesday the 20th of March, Mr Drakeford's successor has been the experienced Labour politician Vaughan Gething. And finally, there are more LGBTQIA streaming and internet radio stations than ever before, and we should all welcome the diversity of services representing the diversity of our movement. Even major brands have launched LGBT plus services, with the Hits Radio Network, a national digital radio station here in the UK, having an LGBT plus internet offshoot called Hits Pride. Now, according to the media website RCS, Hits Radio Pride is going to be broadcast on digital DAB radio transmitters in many towns and cities of the UK, including Birmingham, Bournemouth, Bradford, Edinburgh and Abertawe, that's Swansea. Ben Cooper, the Chief Content and Music Officer for Bauer Media UK, said, "I'm delighted that Hits Radio Pride, which initially launched as a six-month pop-up station and then went from strength to strength in creative confidence, mixing uplifting music with its award-winning educational and thought-provoking content. It's proven to be a hit with both listeners," he said, "and commercial partners, and we're delighted to increase its DAB distribution and bring Hits Radio Pride to even more people from the LGBT plus community and beyond. Now, around 32 million people will be able to pick up Hits Radio Pride on DAB radio, and this service will be particularly welcomed by gay, trans, non-binary and queer people in smaller towns and countryside areas where there may not be an existing LGBTQIA plus show on community or commercial radio services." Well, that's it for our news and another bumper week for LGBTQIA happenings. You can always find out more on our website, which is at shoutoutradio.lgbt. And be sure to keep abreast of happenings in the community by checking out LGBTQIA plus blogs, podcasts, magazines and fanzines. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Dear erudite listeners, I find myself in City Hall and I'm joined by the incumbent High Sheriff of Bristol, bringing a lot of much needed glamour to the show. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Thank you very much, Marty, and it's great that you're having me here.
And you've been High Sheriff now for a year. It's a year-long privilege, I guess.
It is a privilege and an honour, and I'm truly enjoyed the position for the last year. I got into the post in March 2023, and of course now I finish in March 2024.
And you're going out on a bit of a bang. You're reaching out, aren't you, to the community?
Yes, throughout the year I have been reaching out to the community, and as part of the role and my project which I've been doing, I have been concentrating on inclusion and not exclusion. Given the position that we are in, we are 10th in line within Europe with school exclusion. We're above average, So I just feel that it's not good enough. Children are our future, and we need to sort of put them as our future and put what we talk about, put our words, what we say, put it in action.
And I guess this is a very real issue because, of course, exclusion from school means exclusion from peers, from education. So it can have quite long-term and devastating effects on both the individual and, I guess, the family and support people around them.
That is true. And we're seeing it in Bristol on our streets now because those children are vulnerable. It leads down to the criminal line, and also they can be subject to sexual exploitation. We need to do something about it because the impact that it's having, it's truly devastating for us.
Hence the project, Inclusion Not Exclusion. So how did that come about?
Well, it came about because, as I said, we are above average. We see daily what's happening to our young people. And the figures and the stats that are coming out now truly telling us, and it's got really bad since the pandemic because we hear about their children, so many children missing. Why are these children missing? Why are these young people missing? They shouldn't be missing. They should have a knowledge. The school should have a system of where they can track these children, and they can't. Hence, they've been excluded. And when you're excluded, I think people really need to concentrate on the word excluded, what that really means, because they're left, they're on the streets, and then they get into all sorts of trouble.
So this is a really important investment, if you like, in the city moving forward. And this is going to be showcased in an event that's going to be happening in April. So would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yes. So we talked about earlier on about the children who are excluded, but they are excluded and they are not dumb children. They have skills and they have talent. So therefore, they're missing out, not being in school, not being monitored, not being tracked, and they're left. So their confidence has been knocked, so nothing is being done. So I thought it was a good idea after speaking to a lot of young people and going to school and parents that I should be shining a light on those people. So the event I'm going to have is called The Shining Star. It's going to be launched on the 2nd of April at the Beacon. And it's an opportunity to bring together the key partners across Bristol, the city, and young people and their families. This event is for children and young people from special protected characteristics. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that school exclusion, suspensions across the city, it's a major concern for us all. Most of the groups that are the children who are excluded are children of special educational needs, disabilities, children in care, those eligible for free school meals, and those from obviously black backgrounds. Young people with multiple vulnerabilities are at special risk. And for many young people, exclusion leads to significantly worse life outcomes.
And I guess that for the shout-out listeners, that would include LGBTQIA plus vulnerable children as well.
Indeed.
You've thought about this, haven't you? Because it's in the evening so that people can attend. I believe it's around 6:30 it starts, is that right?
That's correct, yes. So it's given everyone that opportunity, 6:30 to 9:30. If you have something earlier on in the day, you have time to get there. And also a thought about, it's about young people, it's about families, it's about the cost, and we know we have the cost of living crisis, and it's hard for people, you know, to use their budget that they don't have. I've managed to get the cost for £6. However, I am asking for a donation because the High Sheriff doesn't have a fund herself. For the last year, everything I've been doing, it's out of my pocket. It's not on the public purse. So I'm asking for donation. So you have an opportunity that you can purchase a ticket for yourself, but not just for yourself. You can also buy a seat for a young person or someone else to come and see what's going on.
And I think that's really important, because this event isn't just a lot of sage people sitting around nodding thoughtfully, that actually that the people affected by this are going to be part of this conversation and part of this debate. So if I wanted to support a child, how do I get to buy a ticket?
Tickets will be on sale at the Beacon, and you can contact the Beacon to get a ticket. Or alternatively, you can make a donation, and there is a crowdfunded page that is set up at www.crowdfunder.co.uk/p/inclusion-crowdfunder.